Shalom, and welcome to the Lord's house as we share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, today's message.
Well, praise the Lord. You know, in the Bible, there's a book written by a man by the name of Isaiah. And Isaiah lived in the 8th century B.C., and he is considered to be the greatest of the Old Testament prophets. He's quoted at least 50 times in the New Testament. And in chapter 6 of the book of Isaiah, we read of a vision that Isaiah had. And verse 1 reads, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple." Now, I don't want anybody to get confused here and think choo-choo train or something like that. Other translations, New King James, for example, says robe. His robe filled the temple. Isaiah was seeing a glorious sight. He was being lifted up into the presence of the Lord. And then in verse 8, he goes on and says, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me." Just think about it a moment. Here's Isaiah being in his spirit lifted up into the presence of the Lord. That in itself had to be a thrilling, almost undescribable moment in his life. And he's sitting there, maybe somewhat basking in the presence of God. He hears the Lord say, "Who shall I send? And who will go for us?" And you know, I think somewhat God is still asking that question of people today. Who will I send? Who will go? There's another scripture that says, for many are called, but few are chosen. And part of it is the fact that a lot of people are called, but they don't go. Because they will say, well, send somebody else. Remember, we talked the other day about Moses, and as he was standing by the burning bush, and God was telling him how he was to go back to Egypt and bring the children of Israel out of bondage. And Moses is making all kinds of excuses why it would be much better for someone else to go. And even today, there are a lot of people that as God begins to speak to them, they begin to make these excuses. There's somebody better than I am. And yes, realistically, there probably is somebody in certain senses that are better than you are at doing maybe a particular job or situation. But God has a reason why He called you. God spoke to you for a reason. He had a purpose in calling you. Yes, there might be some people that, in your mind at least, are better off as to for what how they could do the or fulfill that calling, but God called you. And just think about it. When God calls you, you are to consider that an honor that God chose you, that He called you, that He spoke to you. And I know that a lot of people think that if God speaks to you, that, you know, they think, you know, like some of the things in the Old Testament where God spoke to them in an audible voice, such as He did with Moses there. And most of the time, God does not speak to us in an audible voice that other people can hear or that we hear through our ears, but we hear it in our mind and in our spirit. And when God speaks to us, you know that it's God speaking to you. And as God calls him here, he's saying, "Here, who will he send? Who will go?" And Isaiah says, "Here I am, send me." Submission to God. "God, I'm ready. Send me. I will go." And as we go on and continue to look into Isaiah here, I want to ask, though, first, how many of you, if you were maybe in a similar situation, would readily say, "Here am I, send me"? I want you to look back. We mentioned Moses. He made excuses before he submitted to God's calling there. But Isaiah, when he hears the call, says, "Here am I, send me." And how many of us would readily say, "Here am I, Lord, send me," as you feel that call of God in your life? Isaiah also foretold the coming of Messiah. And as we go to Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1, here we read of a prophecy of Messiah that is to come. And in Isaiah 61, 1, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of prison to them that are bound." Prophecy of Messiah that is to come. "The Spirit of God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach the good tidings unto the meek. Sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of prison to those that are bound." And then almost 700 years later, we find Jesus, Yeshua, who just a short time earlier had been baptized in the River Jordan by John. And we read there in Luke chapter 3, verse 22, "And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased." And then as we read on in Luke chapter 4, verse 16, and it says, "And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read." And then in verse 17, "And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written." Think about it. 700 years later, Jesus is standing in the synagogue, preparing to read. He didn't walk up there and reach over and pick out a scroll that said Isaiah. He was handed, it says, the book, the scroll of Isaiah. And he begins to read then in verse 17 as we read here, verse 18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." Now the commentary on the Greek word translated anointed, by implication, is to consecrate to an office or religious service. I am consecrated to a particular purpose here. God has anointed me to do these things. And part of his mission as you go on is he went out and he preached to those that were poor. He preached to those that were in need. He healed the brokenhearted. He healed the sick. He delivered those that were bound. He delivered those that were held captive by demons, and did many mighty works as God moved through him. And that was part of his mission. His mission also, of course, was to go to the cross, where he would die for our sins on the cross of Calvary, being that sacrifice for our sin. And he also commissions us, though. Did you ever stop to think about that? He commissions us to do something for him. In John chapter 14, verse 12, it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." Think about that. Greater works. Now, I know I've heard people discuss what it meant here by greater works, whether that was more fantastic miracles or or things of that nature than what Jesus did. And I really don't think we can do better than what Jesus did. But I think what we're talking about here, there's more of them. Jesus was only in his ministry for 3 short years. And we're here, and many of us in our ministries, for a lot longer than that, and in greater volume of works that we can do as God ministers through, as God uses us. And so many times we tend to think that, well, this only applies to the preacher. It only applies to the evangelist. It only applies to people in certain offices in the church. But no, it doesn't. It applies to every individual in the church. God can use any of his children. He may use us in different ways. He may lead us in different places. But he can use us, and he can work through us as we go out and reach the lost with the gospel of Jesus Christ. First of all, he said, he's anointed me to preach the gospel, the good news, the good tidings. And that's what we're supposed to be doing. You say, but I'm not called to preach. I'm not a preacher. I'm not maybe not even a teacher. I'm just a pew sitter. But you know what? You're still called to preach the gospel, the good news. And how do we do it then? If you're not behind the pulpit, if you're not standing in front of a class somewhere, or not doing any of these things, we preach the gospel through our daily lives. Think about that. We preach the gospel through our daily lives, how we live. You know, there's a saying that goes around that the only Bible some people will read is what they see in your life. You know? And that's the way it really goes with a lot of people. There are a lot of people out there that the only way that they really come to seeing what the gospel is really about, what God is really about, is what they see in the lives of God's children, those Christians. And if you go out and say, I'm a Christian, and you do all kinds of dishonorable things and dishonest things and a whole bunch of things you could probably mention there, and the world, people out in the world who don't know Jesus see you, and they say, well, that's what a Christian is like. And we've probably all heard somebody say that at some point. Well, if that's what a Christian is like, I don't want to be a Christian. And the sad part about it, a lot of the church today has gotten to the point that we're so much like the world, I don't know how the world sees a difference. Because we have brought into the church so much of the world. But he said, you're all called to preach the gospel, each one of us in a different way. None of us are alike. None of us are called to preach it the same way. Because we all reach people differently. And you know, there's somebody I could stand and preach to until I'm blue in the face and finally just drop over from exhaustion. And they never really comprehend or take to point a word that I've said. And I could do it for a long period of time. And you may walk up and say something just in a slightly different way. And bam, it hits them. They're convicted. They realize they need Jesus. Because God uses each one of us differently. We're all called. We're all called to be his ministers, to preach the gospel. And what is the gospel? It's the good news. It's the good tidings. It's the message of God. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. We're to go out. And you know, the interesting thing is, when Jesus spoke these words to his disciples, the area that they could go to, and what we know of the world today, was really kind of limited. But that's where they had to start. And if you stop and you begin to examine church history, you find out how much they spread out, though, into the known world in just a few short years because they were fulfilling that commission. And today we have the advantage of being able to preach the gospel to the entire planet. We can reach out to almost any point on this planet with the gospel today. I think that's fantastic that we can do that, that God has opened up that door for us, that no matter where a person is at, there is a way that they can now hear the gospel. So we are to preach the gospel. We're to take it out into the world. He says, what's going to happen here if you begin to take this gospel out? We're to heal the brokenhearted. There's a lot of brokenhearted out there. A lot more than most people realize that are brokenhearted. Things that are happening in their life. Things that maybe the rest of the world doesn't know about, really doesn't even care about, but's going on in their life that particular time. And they're maybe at a crossroads. And we are to preach the gospel to them. We are to heal the brokenhearted. We're to minister to the brokenhearted. And you know what? Sometimes just a kind word to someone that's in need there can make a world of difference. I was told yesterday about something. I still, right now, don't know what it is. I was told to keep doing it. And I don't even know what it is I was doing. But I was told this lady that we know who is possibly terminally ill had told someone that they enjoyed reading something that I posted on the internet and that Katrina posted on the internet. And Katrina, if you can figure it out, please let me know what it is. But she said it touched her life. It blessed her. She enjoyed it. And you know what? Sometimes it's something just as simple as that, though. And maybe we don't even realize what we're doing. But it's that word that goes to a person in need. Maybe it's that comment. You know, I post a Bible verse on my Facebook page every day. And I post it on the ministry's Facebook page. And I don't know who all reads it. But I know people sometimes, they share that verse. And sometimes it reaches out to somebody. I don't even know who they are. Have never heard of them in my life. Probably never will. But it got to them and it touched their need. Think about it. Sometimes your ministry can be something as simple as that, where you reach out and touch a life and make a difference in their life. We're to heal the brokenhearted. We're to preach deliverance to those that are bound. There's a lot of people in bondage today. When we think about a lot of people that are bound or people in bondage, and we think maybe about somebody that's in prison or behind bars or being held captive somewhere. And there are a lot of those people. And I thank God for those that are called to that type of ministry that can go in and minister to those groups of people and reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But there are a lot of people walking the streets that can go anywhere they want to go. But they're in bondage. They're in bondage to the things of the world. They're in bondage to sin. They're in bondage to Satan. Maybe they have a drug habit. Maybe they have some other type of addiction. Whatever it might be, that they have some sort of bondage that's in their life that's hindering them, that's binding them, that's keeping them from fully functioning as an individual. There's a lot of people out there like that today. And we are to preach deliverance to those people. You know, there's programs for people that suffer from various forms of addiction. And just about any addiction there is, there's a treatment house for it anymore, or a program for it for treatment. And sometimes it works, and sometimes it doesn't. And quite frankly, I think more often it doesn't work more than it does work. But there is one way of deliverance that is guaranteed, and that's the deliverance from God. When God delivers you, you are delivered. You are set free. Now, that's not to say that you can't turn around and turn your back on God and go back into it. But when God sets you free, He takes it away from you. He doesn't leave a little dabble of it there. You're delivered. You're freed from that bondage. You are set free to go out and live the life that God called you to live. Miracles. Do we see miracles today? I know there are some groups that preach that miracles ceased when the last apostle died. Well, that was the end of miracles. But every one of us, I believe, sitting in this building today probably has seen a miracle at some time or another in our life. We've maybe even had a miracle in our life. I know I've seen several miracles that have happened. And it's just beyond, you know, almost beyond comprehension sometimes as to how God does some of these things. But we witness it and we see what God has done. God still works miracles today. And sometimes, even though we may not be the one that lays hands on the person that prays for them, that they receive their miracle from it, God still works miracles and we can be witness to it. And maybe our prayers had some part in it. You never know. That's the whole thing. We don't really always know how much we had a part in it. But God uses us. He still wants to work miracles today. He still wants to deliver people today. He still wants to save people today. And He wants to use us as His tools today to do these things. Mark 16, verse 17 through 18 says, "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In My name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues." And I want to stop right there just for a moment. He didn't say, "In My name they'll do these things," up until John the Revelator dies. And when John dies, it's all over with. You're on your own. He never said that. He said, "Those that are My disciples, those that follow Me, they will do these things." And these things are still being done today for those that are ready to receive. But there's a lot of the world out there isn't ready to receive the miracles from God. They want it some other way. Let's go on with what it says here. "And they shall take up serpents." That doesn't mean we go out and play with snakes. "But they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." I was thinking about that. Let's lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Have you ever seen somebody that had some debilitating, maybe even terminal illness, or they had some type of disability? And in your mind, you thought, "I wish I could just walk over and lay hands on them and they recover. I wish I could do that." And I realize in many cases it's not possible to do something like that. But God says that a power, that authority is still present in the world today. And it needs to be used by His children. We need to seek God. We need to have these manifestations of God flowing through our lives, manifest in our lives, prevalent in our lives. "Lay hands upon the sick, and they shall recover." How's it going to happen? How did it happen? Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus, just before He ascended back into the heavens, said, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto Me, both in Jerusalem, and all Judea, and in Samaria, and into the uttermost parts of the earth." For them and where they were at, we here in Tennessee would have been the uttermost parts of the earth in that day. They didn't even know about us. They didn't even know this place existed. And to us today, as we sit here in Columbia, Tennessee, to us maybe the uttermost parts of the earth might seem to be somewhere in the middle of the continent of Africa, or maybe somewhere in the middle of China, or someplace like that. But we're called to take that gospel out there, and it's our mission today to do that particular thing, to see that the gospel gets out there and that that need is met. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon you. The Holy Ghost is upon you. And I want you to think about this. As a child of God, you have these things available to you. Think about it. As a child of God, all that I've read here, you have available to you. And yet so many times as Christians, we just slough it off. Don't pay any attention to it. It should be the desire of our heart as Christians to want to see what I've just been talking about take place. We should desire to see the brokenhearted healed. We should desire to see deliverance of those that are held captive, those that are in bondage. We should desire to see miracles. And we should make ourselves available, be able to say, Lord, here I am, send me. Does that mean he's going to send every one of you out and you're going to have some fantastic healing ministry and deliverance ministry? No. Doesn't mean that, but you can have a part of it. Because it's just not that individual alone. You know, they talk about sometimes in the sports world, and I heard somebody even talking about it the other day on some particular sport. I forget what it was, but they said there is no I in team. And so many times we think there's the I in what God has called us as a church, as a body of believers to do. But we are a team working together. God has called all of us, and we all have our part to fulfill. We are members, it says, of the body of Christ. Just as our body, it refers to, has its certain members, we have toes. The toes perform a particular function. We have fingers. They perform a function. And so on, our body, each part of it performs its own individual and particular functions. And just as we are members of the body of Christ, we're children of God, we are called to our own particular functions in the body of Christ. God will have a call on your life that he may not have a call on the life of anybody else that's within your circle of friends or fellow believers. He may have that call particularly on you, and he's wanting you to meet the need that is there. And somebody else, their call is going to be different. But the call is there. Are we willing to say, here am I, send me? Are we willing to go out and heal the brokenhearted? Are we ready to go out and deliver those that are in bondage? Are we ready to take the gospel, the good news of Messiah, that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus is Messiah, Jesus is King? And he wants to be the Lord of your life. And maybe those that are listening to me today, maybe there's someone that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. But I want you to stop and think right now. He's speaking these words to you. He's calling you. He has a plan for your life. And all you have to do is let him into your life, let him into your heart, and say, Jesus, come into my heart, come into my life, cleanse me from sin, and then use me. Use me that I can be a part of this body of believers, this body of Christ, this call to go out and do these things. And if you prayed that prayer today, God will hear your prayer. He will answer your prayer. And Father, right now, I just pray, Father, that you would touch hearts wherever this message goes out. lives would be changed, Father. And Father, that the brokenhearted would be healed. The captive would be delivered. Those that are in bondage, Father. And Father, works would be done for your glory. And we thank you now, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
You have been listening to a message from the Lord's House. If this ministry has blessed you, please let us know. You may email us at pastor@tlhf.us, or you may write us at the Lord's House Fellowship, P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Or if you would like to attend a service at the Lord's House, we are located at 1131 Maple Ash Avenue, Columbia, Tennessee. And until next time, Shalom.